My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. With us again is Steve Myers, who is probably more known for being a Beyond Today presenter, but today you're hearing a side of him that maybe you don't know as much from the pastoral, ministerial side, so we appreciate your being here. We want to talk a little bit here about a ministerial conference that we just returned from in California. Now, Steve has been part of the ministerial education team, along with his wife, Kathy, that has actually helped formulate some of the lectures. I'd like to share some of the impressions of future trainees and so forth.
Yeah, it is exciting to see that we have a ministry that's looking to grow. You know, we're not just stagnating. I think we recognize the fact that, okay, we have an aging ministry, but I don't think we have a group that doesn't want to pass that baton off, that we have a group that's recognizing the fact that we want to mentor younger people. We want them to come along. Well, how do we do that? And I think with your leadership, it's really been significant to recognize how important being a disciple is. And so a lot of our conference focused on, well, what does it mean to be a disciple, and how do you apply that then? As you're a follower of Christ, do I have responsibilities?
Well, one thing that the conferences have been set up to do is to have two parallel roads of instruction. One is of information, doctrine, how to preach, skill sets. The other is having to do with character and integrity. You know, how you relate to people, not greedy for money, not given to wine,
that Paul gave Timothy and Titus. It is important. And we all need reminders. And it's good to get together and rehearse those things and to recognize, okay, we can all learn a little bit more. We can all apply those things more deeply in our lives. And so I think it is powerful. And not only, like you were mentioning, learning about those things or hearing lectures on those things. One of the great things has been some of the discussions we've had with the ministry for all of these conferences over the last 2 years, to give and take and share and have some interaction. I think it's been really amazing because we might present a topic and then we hear others' experiences as it relates to those topics so that it kind of expands all of our understanding, you know, to, oh, you dealt with it like that? Oh, I've had a similar situation. And, you know, what did you get out of that? Or how did you deal with this? Or what did you learn from that? Or even just the topics themselves. When we talk about being a disciple, or we talk about, you know, the vision statement where, you know, every joint, every ligament, every part does its share, you know, those kinds of things. Well, how can we do that? What does that look like in the ministry? And then what does that look like as we help develop, you know, those in our congregations? And to have those discussions, it's been really exciting and encouraging to hear how many different ways, you know, we can contribute to achieving the goal.
Right. Well, the conferences were sort of set up to be conferences, you know, to where we can confer. In fact, one of the sessions I had was called Challenges and Solutions, where we brought up different challenges that ministers have in their areas. And then we had the whole group chime in on what was there.
Isn't it amazing how those discussions went? Because it just seems that it spurs thoughts and it just takes off. And even though you might just talk about one issue, you could take up the whole hour just on one issue as we all share different ideas and experiences.
But I'll have to say that one of my favorite lectures, of course, I enjoyed them all, to be very truthful, yours and Darius's and others that were guest lecturers, so to speak, there. But I enjoyed Hassle with Tassels. You know, you talked about what commands we are to keep from the Old Testament and which laws we don't keep and why. Mm-hmm. And it was the best short presentation. If I could encapsulate that, and if somebody asks, why do you keep the commandments or the laws, you should say, of the Old Testament? Why do you reject others? It was the one, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And especially with your covenants charge, it was very, very good.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. It seems like the messianic influences in the church sometimes can get away from us. And sometimes they have an appearance that, whoa, this must be good, when in actuality it's really not. And to deal with those some of those issues, and even talking with some of our ABC students, sometimes as young people it can be a little confusing. It might seem like, well, why don't we do some of these things, but then we still do other things. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't we eat pork, but yet you say we shouldn't wear tassels? Well, why not? Yeah. And so to deal with those kinds of things and look biblically, you know, what is that holy, righteous, perfect law that we should be keeping? And, you know, what things were in force even before Mount Sinai? You know, what was that covenant about? And then what about the new covenant? And how does that make the old obsolete? Mm. And to divine that, I think it becomes pretty clear that, okay, some of these things, yeah, we've got to keep the spiritual intent of these things. And some of the things, they are object lessons, whether it's the Sabbath or the holy days or unleavened bread. Those are law that we continue to keep no matter what.
Mm. Well, I find that you put it in such clarity in that way, plus other lectures dealing with personal development, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with the job of the ministry. Can you give me an impression of just what you consider to be the most important aspects of a minister's job? I mean, you've been out there in the field of ministry for 30 years, mm-hmm. and you know what it's like. You work 6 days, and then you work
We work when everyone else is resting, right?
Right? And by the time we're done with the Sabbath day, for example, the day of rest,
right?
We're done.
We need a rest.
But then on Sunday is a big day for being with people and
That's
so
right.
forth.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience and what you would advise for our younger ministers to have balance and to be mm-hmm. able to get through this, because it is a job which does not have a high survivability, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. There are very, very few ministers that serve their whole lives through. Something happens, some crisis, something else that is reason for not continuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, one of the sessions we had at the conference was about that, trying to maintain a balance of things. I think as a minister, you have to be willing to serve the people. But at the same time, you have to serve your family as well. And there's a balance there, that the ministry is sort of like a job. I mean, we're serving God. We're serving his people, but I can't do that to the detriment of my own family or my own health or my own life, because I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. You know, the second great commandment, that means I better take care of myself so that I can love them and care for them. So I think to have that care, you got to have your own priorities in order and strive to do that. And boy, life pulls on you and wants to get those things out of whack sometimes. But sometimes you just got to step back and say, you know, can we do this later? Or instead of right now, how about can we get together on Monday and talk about that? And so to try to be more organized in that way. But I think you've got to love the people. You can't just put people off. You can't, you know, put them down, that you recognize we're all fallible. And, you know, even the Apostle Paul talked about, I don't want to preach to others and, you know, find that I might fall short. So I think in that sense, love God's people, you know, love God first, love his people, and do everything you can then, you know, to help and to serve. I mentioned being a helper of their joy, that to have that kind of perspective and you know, hopefully put things in a good priority so that you can help and you can serve.
I had a mentor one time, one of my best mentors over time, that he had a success formula for the ministry. One was stay close to God, and number two, love and respect the people. And the love and respecting the people was a very, very big one to him. It isn't just loving them, you know, of gushiness, but really respect them. They have had to make life changes to become part of the congregation. They have had to leave perhaps a major denomination where they saw that they were not going in the right mm-hmm. direction. They've had to make choices with occupation and work. And we need to respect these people.
That's right.
And show that continually. And show it even at a time when they're going through step or backing.
Absolutely. The hard part is you can't pigeonhole people. that there may be an issue, there may be a problem. We're to help them, we're to counsel them, we're to give them biblical guidance. But life isn't just stuck in this hole that God's going to help them to change. So we don't want them stuck in a rut. We're going to try to help them get out of it so then it will improve and they will succeed and they will go on from that. Mm-hmm. And I see to look at it that way rather than say, oh, yeah, that's just the way they are. They're horrible people or they're always doing this or they're always that. We can't do that. I think we're so blessed to have God look at us and see the best in us and want the best for us that we've got to mirror that to God's people so that they will change, you know, expect the positive things, that they are going to change and they are going to grow and it's going to be okay and, you know, they're going to be successful and God's going to help them, you know, to get through whatever the situation might be and they will get to the other side.
Right. And I feel like the leadership of the ministry is not to be over the people, but be with the people. I find that when I show myself to be real, not to the point of just letting everything be said, you know, mm-hmm. but just to show that I am fallible. Like the Apostle Paul, when he talked about there are things that I want to do and I can't, and I do things I don't want to do, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Yeah.
I feel he made himself so real,
right.
you know, to that. He also had his own experiences where he had to make a change from being one who persecuted Christians, dragged them out of their houses, put them in jail, to being one who was their leader. And I'm sure that those thoughts and that guilt, you know, ran with him. And he says, boy, I am so thankful that I am now here where I'm at. And he put his whole life, you know, into that mm-hmm. ministry.
Boy, sure did. And I think, yeah, that's the way we need to help. And
yeah.
we need to help others in that way as well.
And show ourselves to be real. I think that people will follow and people will be more motivated when their pastor is one that understands because he hasn't been tempted at all points.
That's right. Even Paul, you'd think of him as, you know, the giant of the New Testament with all the writings and everything that he had. And yet he wrote to Corinth and said, you know, you're fellow workers. And he saw himself on the same plane in many ways that they're a part of this as well. So we're in this together. And I think we see that. And I think that makes a difference in a congregation as well, that it's, I'm not just the pastor who's way up here and there's the congregation way down there. Well, we're a family. We're supposed to be God's family. We're the household of God. And as a household, we have all the different parts. So we've got the little kids and we've got the grandmas and grandpas. And when we deal with each other as family, rather than just acquaintances, I think that changes everything. I mean, is there somebody, you know, that's an authority in the family? Well, of course, there always is, the same way there would be in the congregation. But hopefully it's a loving authority, a caring authority that wants the best out of people. And as if we think in those terms as the family of God, I think that helps set a tone to really bring out the best in people.
Mm. Well, one more big factor here is the fact that half the people at the conference were women. You know, they
yes.
were the wives and supporters of their husbands. And of course, you brought your wife, Kathy, as mm-hmm. I brought my wife, Bev,
right.
To the conference, and they're very much a part of that. Can you talk to us about Kathy's work with you? I know that she's always there, and she has, you know, a lot of her thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. and we work together here in this office as well,
right.
about their role and the role of the minister's wife.
Yeah. Kathy helps a little bit out with the Minister of Member Services, but I don't know where I'd be without her. You know, the perspective that she brings, the help that she brings, counseling, especially when we have marriage counselings, different situations that come up. I think the woman's perspective is so crucial to that, and to have her there. Or sometimes it's just like, wait a second, have you thought that through, really? You know, we're talking privately, you know, at home. It's like, well, maybe I haven't really thought that through. You know, to be a team and to really care about each other and to have that perspective. She is such a good insight into people as well. So I think that perspective that I think only a woman can bring in some ways definitely helps balance everything out. So you get a bigger picture of situations, and it's always good because then, you know, have that opportunity then to really help and have a different perspective on things.
Well, we have geared our lectures to include the women, you know. And in fact, we have encouraged them to comment. And I would say that we probably had as many women comment in our conferences as we've had the men.
Absolutely. Yeah, some great great discussion we had when we were talking about the Young Adult Initiative. Ladies had so many comments and suggestions and ideas. You know, those things are invaluable when you begin to really get to the heart of the matter on some of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, where would we be without the ladies?
Well, I know that, you know, there's a left and a right brain that we have. My wife is the other side of my brain. She is left-brained. She sees things in a very logical, organized manner. She asks a lot of questions, and she makes things work. I'm the right brain. I'm the more subjective, you know, the gushy person. But I don't always have the order. Well, she's got the touch, too, you know, with people. Mm-hmm, sure. But I feel like we really blend well. To me, the Apostle Paul was a person who had both sides of the brain. Right. I mean, he was one that wrote some amazing doctrine, you know, Christian doctrine. And it was well thought through, obviously, and has become the inspired text, you know, for Christianity. He's the one who defined Christianity. And then you also have him who says, I think of you as a mother thinks of a nursing child.
That's right.
And with tears I have, you know, thought about you, and I pray for you continually. So you have both sides of this craft that are needed to do that. And maybe we don't have all both sides like Paul did, but we have our mate to provide.
That's right. Boy, and to bring that perspective is absolutely critical. My wife is great with the teens as well and the young adults. She just loves to talk and have fun and get to know them, have them over. That side of things, sometimes I'd probably be a little more of a recluse at times, but she's more of the social side of things. And so she gets all of those things in order for us. And it's, you know, I call her our social coordinator. And so she's really good at those kinds of things, and she has a way of getting to the heart of the matter. You know, sometimes we'll be talking with someone, and she'll just ask a question. It's like, whoa, that was pretty direct. And she just gets right to the heart of it, but she does it in a way that people talk to her. I don't know if she just has that look about her.
Well, she's very approachable.
Yeah, she's approachable, and it does definitely balance things out where, you know, some people may engage, talk to her, maybe talk to me, but then you have that balance so that I think God kind of intended it that way so we could, you know, cover all the bases.
Well, we finished the first six. Well, we finished these six
regional conferences.
And we're starting another one here. Yeah. We have some new subjects. We're going to have something on expository preaching, but we're still working on more subjects for it. We look forward to having you help out.
Well, we're looking forward to that. It's an honor and a blessing to be able to be a part of it and to be able to talk to God's ministers. And it's really, really a wonderful opportunity.
Thank you for being here, Steve.
It's good talking with you.
Well, thank you for joining us on Inside United, and we hope that you will come back again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.